Amen. So Pastor tells me you guys finished up healing. I'm sure it was fabulous, right? Well, we're going to move on to another really favorite topic of mine, and we're going to talk about giving. We're going to talk about tithing, alms, and seed. And you know those are three really important principles in your Christian walk, right? And so we have to know exactly what the Word of God says about them and how they work. Just because you throw money in the bucket, you have to attach your faith to that in order for it to be activated, right? And so we're going to talk about those principles and how they relate and how God expects us to give. This was His idea, right? This is His idea. Giving is His idea. He gave His Son first, and now we're giving back to Him only a portion of what we could possibly even give to Him. Amen? So let's get right on into it. First, we're going to talk about tithing. And tithing is about relationship, obedience, and stewardship. A lot of people don't associate tithing with relationship, but truly it is. When you know that when you're following God's word and you're being obedient to it, then you can trust Him. I'm sure we all have people in our lives that we trust. We would trust them unconditionally. We don't even second guess. There are just certain people in our lives. We've built relationship with them, and we know what they're going to do. We know how they're going to handle us. We anticipate, you know, how they're, because why? Because we've had relationship with them, right? So we know them. As we get to know God and as we spend time with God, you can trust Him. You learn how to trust Him, right? Now, it's easy to trust, for me, it's very easy to trust God with my soul, you know? I grew up in a Christian home. I was taught the principles of salvation from a very early age, and I received Jesus when I was 5. I've walked this walk a long time, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am, so don't even bother to do the math. But the thing is that I don't have any qualms about trusting God with my salvation. But there was a time in my life when I really didn't trust Him with my finances. I didn't trust that He could take care of me, right? We're in for a great teaching tonight because the Lord just brought a lot of different personal experiences to my remembrance as I was studying out and just meditating on the Word tonight about what I was going to be teaching on. But I have such miraculous testimonies about God's intervention in my finances, and I trust Him explicitly with my finances. You know, there is principles here that we give 10%. That's what your tithe is. That is what Strong's defines the word tithe is a tenth part. And the tithe is holy unto God. When I get my paycheck every week, I give online. That is the very first thing that comes out of my paycheck. I get my check I go in on Thursday, I look and see what my paycheck was, I get my tithe ready, and I go right out to His tabernacle, and I get online, and I give my tithe. Why? Because I want to make sure that nothing gets in my way of the tithe. The devil's not going to steal my tithe. He's not going to eat my seed. And so I immediately do that because I'm in a habit now, right? There were many years that I didn't give. There were many years in my early Christian walk, in my early marriage to my late husband, where we didn't give. But you know what? It was just like every single time we get a bonus. You put the money in the bank, and the next thing you know, your pockets are empty, right? So we're going to learn tonight about why God says His tithe is holy. Let's go to Leviticus 27:30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord." Now, even in the Old Testament, they were giving a tenth of their tithe. They were giving their tithe, whether it was a tenth of their gardens, whether it was a tenth of their livestock, whatever it was that God said, they were to give the best. They were to give the tenth. And so even from the Old Testament on, it has never changed. There's a lot of denominations that teach that the tithe was only for the Old Testament, right? There's also a lot of Christians who are walking around with no money in their bank account. Amen? Because they're not following God's word. They're not obeying his word. Stewardship, so important, critical, because if we're not good with the monies that God gives us, then how can we prosper? How can then he trust us with more, right? If he can trust us with a little bit, he'll put more in our hands. Amen? So stewardship is really important too. You know, there was a time in my life where I lacked funds. Loved Jesus with all my heart, filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, but you know what? I lacked the funds. And it was because I didn't have my financial house in order. I wasn't doing exactly what I was supposed to do with my finances. And God was trying to teach me, no, you need me to help you. You need me to help guide you. And so, in particular, at one point in my marriage to my late husband, he took over the finances. And it was a disaster because we weren't on the same page. We weren't tithing on a regular basis. It was hit or miss, you know, hit or miss. And every time a big crisis would happen, we'd be scrambling to figure out where we were going to come up with the funds to pay it. And I remember Pastor calling me one day and he says, I just feel like you're having trouble with your finances. And I'm like, really? Well, just so happens that you're calling me. Yes, we're having terrible time with our finances. And he said, I'm coming out. Let me sit with you and go through the principles of tithing. And I was working for a plastics company in Massachusetts. I had just gotten a huge bonus. And we had all of our bills laid out on the table. And there was a lot of them. And so, you know, normally we would just pay all the bills and, okay, whatever's left over is, I guess we'll give some of it to God. But this time, as Pastor was talking to us and teaching us the principles of true tithing principles, he said, no, what you do first is you take the tithe off the top and then the rest is what you pay bills with. And if you don't have enough to pay your bills, then you're going to have to believe God for the finances that you're short, right? We said, oh, no, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. We decided to do it our way. And it was so unreal that we paid all the bills. Now, like, God knows our hearts, right? I mean, God knows our heart. And tithing has something to do with your heart, whether people want to believe it or not. We wanted to give. We wanted to do right with our tithe. And so we decided we were going to do it our way. We paid all the bills. And at the very end, we had exactly enough money for the tithe. Exactly to the T was enough money to give our full tithe. And it taught us a huge lesson. And from that very moment on, we never again did it that way. We always gave our tithe off the top. We always seeded. And I have to say that we did go through some tough times during the next coming years, but it grew a trust in me that I knew that if I was short somewhere, I could ask God for the monies and have him help me. And sure enough, every time God has always come through, every single time. He has never failed me yet. Amen? And this is 25, 30 years of walking this walk. And I don't lack for any good thing. I didn't say I don't sometimes struggle. I said I don't lack for any good thing. Amen? Sometimes we find that we have to go through struggles in order to build our faith and our trust in him. Let's cut back here for a second. The tithe, we were talking about the tithe is holy. And there are certain things that you just don't touch of God's, right? And even in the Garden of Eden, they were told not to touch a certain tree, not to eat of a certain tree. Why? Because God knew what would happen, right? If we are faithful and we do not touch the holy tithe, God will bless us for our obedience. Amen? And you're putting yourself in a position. See, positioning is important. Tithing is a requirement in the word. Seeding is also. But a lot of people tithe and don't seed. What does seeding do for you? It helps bring the harvest in, right? You're planting so that you're always going to have a perpetual harvest coming in. If you only plant one bean plant, you're probably going to get maybe 10 pods off that bean plant, and you know, you're limited. But as you perpetually tithe, you're keeping the doors and the blessings open for God to continuously bring money into your hand. Amen? But we are not to touch things that are meant for God. Let's look at Genesis 2, 8, and 9. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So he gave them specific instructions. In the word, God gives us a specific instruction that the tithe is holy and we're not to touch it. We're just supposed to give it back to him. Amen? We need to learn. Adam and Eve obviously put us in a bad position. Wouldn't you agree? If only they had obeyed God, we probably wouldn't be in the situation that we're in. Amen? So we need to know that, yes, God has given us free will. And it is. It's your money. When you go to work and you work hard every day, it's totally up to you whether you choose to give your tithe or not. Right? I mean, God's not going to come steal it out of your bank account. It's your choice. But when you understand that when you are obedient and you give because you want to, then you're not stopping God from intervening in your finances when you need his help. Amen? You know, my late husband, he died of cancer and didn't work for a year. Didn't have any money coming in except for my paycheck. So behind, you know, on bills, but I continued to tithe off from my paycheck. No money coming in from him, but I knew the principles and I was continuing in them. I planted and I tithed. And do you know, at one point, you know, I went to the Lord and I said, God, you know, you told me you'd take care of me. So now it's time. I need some money to pay these bills. It's time for you to take care of me. So please kick it in here. And as I prayed, within the next week, checks were coming in from people I have no idea who they were. I had never met them. People were sending money, you know, into my hand. The Bible says that men shall give into your bosom, right? It's not, God's not planting a money tree in your backyard so you can go pluck a few bills off from it. Men will give into your bosom. Men will give money to you and help you prosper. Your employer helps you prosper. Amen? He gives you a job. You have to go to that job every day to make your money, but he is providing you with a way to get funds. Amen? So as I saw God taking care of me, even in that difficult time, my bills were paid. I had $30,000 in debt when my husband passed away. And within 6 months, the $30,000 was gone. It was paid off. I had no debt. I've had times in my life where I've needed a car. Lord, I'm a tither, I'm a seeder. I need a car. I've had a car given to me before. You know, God does it his way. Amen? All you have to do is trust him. So do you really trust God that much? If not, and if you question yourself, I don't know if I can trust him like that, it's a good test right now. Start being obedient. Malachi 3 says, prove me, test me. This is the one area where you can say, God, I'm being obedient in everything you've asked me to do, and you've said you would take care of me, so I'm asking you to do it now. Show yourself in this situation. You know, you need to be real with God. We don't have to do the those and the thous and the he's and the ye's and all that kind of stuff. Just talk to him real. You know, I do. I talk to him real in my car and probably Joel passes me on the way to work, and he's probably going, oh, yeah, she's talking again. But honestly, that's my prayer time, and that's the time that I go to the Lord, and that's when I go to him with my needs. Why? Because my house isn't always quiet. That's my quiet time. That's the time where I can get intimate with God about what I need and what he wants me to do and how he wants me to do it. It's so important to build that, continue to build that relationship with the Father so that you can trust him in whatever, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your job. You know, God needs to be part of all those areas, and especially your job. Your job is a source, amen? That is all that job is. It's a source to bring money into your hands, and it is an opportunity to give you every day to go and minister to people, amen? That's why you're there. And so as you allow God to use you in your workplace, pray for your employer. Pray that they prosper. Why? Because when they're prospering, you're going to prosper. Amen? The team that I work with at Corning, I pray for my boss every day. And I pray that he makes godly decisions. I pray that he uses wisdom in negotiating the deals that he negotiates. I pray for him every day that he leads us as a team into a place of prosperity and that Corning overall is blessed. And you know what? I have seen God do miraculous things with our program that no man could do. Amen? And so as our program prospers, God then in turn prospers me. I got a fabulous raise last year. Right? That's what we're here for. And as we trust God, you know, these are the things that he does for us. It's important to know that relationship is a totally integrated part of your finances. If I didn't trust my husband he takes care of all our books and everything. You know, we have a business and all. So he takes care of all that. Now, if I didn't trust him, how then could I leave him to do all of our business? I couldn't. How do I know he's not going to take off for Tahiti someday and leave our books high and dry? But I've built relationship with him. I know how he handles our finances. I know how he handles our things. So I trust that he's not going to just up and empty all our bank accounts and take off, right? God's got a relationship position with you that you just need to dive into. Let's go to Malachi 3, 7 and 8. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? So God told his children they were no longer keeping his principles and that he was not pleased with them. He was not pleased with them. The main reason for God's reaction is because it affected his relationship with his people. All right? When our hearts are turned towards God, we want to do the things that please him, right? Obedience, joy, peace. Do you like peace? I love peace. I have to have peace in my life. Those are all things that come with obedience. What was the principle that caused a relationship breach? Malachi 3, 8 through 10 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing for you that there will not be room enough to receive it. And that is the truth. When we do what we're supposed to do, we have a pipeline, an open pipeline between us and God, and there's nothing clogging it up. Amen? It's not our disobedience. It's not our hardened heart. It's just open, and that's what I want. I want to be open so that God can get all the things that he needs for me to have money for. When Brother Tiff comes, I want to be able to plant, right? When Brother Ted comes, I want to be able to plant. When Pastor says we need a new bus, I want to be able to plant. Amen? And if I'm not obedient, I'm not going to have the funds to be able to do those things that he's called us to do. The gospel's expensive, right? It costs money to preach the word. It costs money to send word into South Africa, into all over this world, you know? And so if we're not having the funds open and having our God working and interceding in our funds, then we're not going to be able to fund the gospel. Amen? So the tithe is holy, and when we choose willfully not to obey our king, then as much as he loves us, there is a breach because of disrespect. It affects our relationship with God. So let's talk about stewardship a little bit. What is stewardship? The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, and the world and those who dwell in it." Everything we have is not ours. It's God's. God created the heavens and the earth. He created you and me. He created everything. We get to be here. We get to be part of it. We get to use it, right? We get to enjoy it. I love going to Harris Hill in the summertime. I love having a picnic up there. I get to enjoy the peacefulness of the pines and the woods, and I love that smell. But I don't own Harris Hill. It's not mine. I get to go and enjoy it, and I get to look at what God created. We have to understand that when God gives us something and we are stewards of it, we have to do right things with it. Amen? Now, if someone goes up to Harris Hill and they dump all their trash for the last 6 months all over the place, that is not taking care of Harris Hill. That is not being a good steward of Harris Hill. Or over your home, even your home. If you do not do proper maintenance on your home will fall apart around you. Amen? It will. And so we have to be good stewards with the things that God's entrusted to us, with the funds that he's entrusted to us, with our children that he's entrusted to us, and with our grandchildren. Especially grandchildren are really awesome, aren't they? I can't tell you. I love being a grandmother. But it's, you know, we have to be good stewards over everything that he puts in our hands. And as we do right things with our money, then he can put more money in, right? I've worked really hard over the years to pay attention to whatever debt I might get into, whatever properties I might buy, you know, because you want to be good stewards of those finances. And you have to have some money in your savings account in case, that rainy day comes along. You know, I just got news yesterday, I got to put new tires on my car. Well, you know, I'm glad I have a couple hundred dollars in my savings account so that I can afford to go do that. But it's because of my stewardship over my funds that I'm able to do that. Amen? So it's important that we pay attention. Luke 16, 1 and 2 says, "He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.'" He, 10 and 11 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteousness of unrighteous mammon," which is money, "who will commit to your trust the true riches?" We're called to be good stewards of his finances. We get to keep 90%. We only have to give 10% back, right? I'm glad that he doesn't leave us to live on the 10% and he takes the 90. You know, that would be a tough duty, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would definitely stretch your faith for sure. But we have to be faithful with the 90. And in verse 11 says that if we can't be faithful with money, which is temporary, then how can he entrust us with the riches that are eternal? Amen? So it's true. I mean, we just look at we just get our paycheck every week or every 2 weeks. And, you know, I know there's sometimes my paycheck's gone like Thursday afternoon and I just looked at my bank account on Thursday morning, right? Because there's things that have to get paid. There's things that have to be done. But I know this, that God is, if I have a need that comes up, I know I can go to God because I've kept my pipeline open. Amen? And I can trust him. Obedience. That's a hard word, isn't it? It's hard to be obedient sometimes. God, the king, tells us to tithe. Leviticus, well, we already read Leviticus 27:30. And when we obey God, it's his responsibility to rebuke the devourer. If you go continue on in Malachi 3, it talks about who the devourer is. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail or fail to bear fruit for you in the field. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. So guess what? The people around you are watching you, aren't they? They're paying attention. If you're belly aching all the time because you have no money and, you know, you got bills up the wazoo that you can't pay, but yet you're declaring Jesus Christ is Lord of all, you know, they're sitting back going, huh? You know, there's a connection there. There's a connection there. We have to pay attention to the fact that when we're obedient, that our obedience will shine through to the people that we're ministering to. Amen? It's important that tithing become a critical aspect of your paycheck every single week or every 2 weeks, whatever you get paid. Off the top. You know, Pastor said on Sunday, he's praying that at some point 80% of the church will be tithing and not the 15 to 20% that currently tithe. You know, you have to think about that for a minute. God has really stretched the funds to be able to fund every single thing that his tabernacle has been involved with, right? He's stretched that 15 to 20%. Imagine if all 80% tithed. How much more work could we get done? Amen? Maybe Jesus would come quicker. I don't know. But think of all the more we could do, you know? I mean, we are limited in some respects by funds, not really limited, but, you know, there's only so much that it can spread around to. But as we learn this principle of tithing and giving, it multiplies the funds that the gospel can be spread. Amen? Let's see, where am I? I'm bouncing around here. Those denominations that teach that tithing is not for the New Testament, they just want to keep their people in bondage. I grew up in the Pentecostal church when we were growing up. It was better that you looked poor. They wanted the people to look poor. So then, you know, the pastor's not driving around in his Cadillac and whatever all. But it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. It's about the heart. And God didn't care if the pastor drives around in a Cadillac. He really doesn't care. You know, as long as the pastor is doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's all that matters. I attended a church in Maine, and the pastor had an opportunity to buy a Hummer. Does anybody know what a Hummer is? Big, big, big car or truck or whatever it is. But he looked good in it. And he had this opportunity to buy this. And he was just so happy. You know, he just put a big smile on his face to get in that thing every single day. But people in the town were talking about the fact that he's a pastor and he's driving it around in a Hummer. Oh yeah, he's probably stealing funds from the church just so he can make his car payment. And they created this big, long, stupid lie, right? Eventually, he felt so bad that people were judging him because of the car he drove, he went and sold it. He went and sold it because he just didn't think it looked good. You know, their attitude had rubbed off on him that he was judging. He began to judge himself thinking that, oh, it doesn't look good that I'm driving around in this nice car. That's foolishness. God really doesn't care what kind of car you drive, you know? And it's about what you do with your funds that warrants what you drive, where you live, how you live, you know? It's what we do. And so what a lot of denominations have done is kept their people in poverty and in lack. They don't know how to get out of that. You guys are so fortunate that you're learning the Word of God and that there's nothing. The devil can't keep you in lack when you know the Word of God, right? Because you know what God's going to do for you. You can trust what He's going to do for you. You can trust what He said He's going to do. And I love that. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what they say about me. I know who God is. Amen? And I know what He says about me. That's the truth of it right there. Let's look. In the concept of the New Testament is more than the Old Covenant, not less. 10% would be the lowest a true New Testament believer should ever give. Isn't that the truth? When you go to a restaurant, do you always give your 20% tip? Why? Because it's what we've been taught to do. It's what's been considered the standard, right? But I try to give more than that. Why? Because when you are blessing them, they're going to treat you really good, right? They might even bring you an extra piece of dessert, right? But the thing is that 10% is the minimum. That is the lowest level. When you're willing to give more, when your heart is willing to give more because God's told you to, if He's spoken to you to give more, do it. Why? Because you're just going to be blessed. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Amen? Acts 2:45 says, he's talking about the new believers that came under the discipleship of the disciples, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as anyone had need. So, you know, if I hear of someone in need, I want to be able to go bless them. I want to be able to buy a coat. Or I was in a consignment store one day, and this young girl came in, and she was getting, it was prom time, and she had seen this really beautiful dress on the rack. I love to shop at the consignment shops because I like to get the deal. And so this girl, she's looking at the dress. She went and she tried it on. She came out. She modeled it for everybody that was in the store. She was really excited. And, you know, you could just see. And so the lady at the counter says, well, it's, you know, $25. And I just saw the girl's head just go, you know, her whole countenance changed. She didn't have $25. She didn't have a mom. I had heard a conversation that she was living in a foster home. She didn't have a mom. She, you know, didn't have a job, you know, but she really wanted to go to the prom, and somebody had asked her to go to the prom. So the lady at the counter says, okay, well, I'm going to hold this dress for you for the next 2 weeks, and, you know, maybe you could come in and work at the store a little bit and, you know, and earn it. And the girl was really fine with that. So I waited till the girl left, and I went over to the lady. I'm like, how much is that dress? She goes, it's $25. I said, here, it's paid for. If I wasn't obedient, I wouldn't be able to go bless that little girl. I have no idea who she is. I don't know what her name is. I'll probably never see her again on the face of the earth. But you know what? Somebody blessed that little girl because of my obedience. I was able to do that. I want to be able to do that. We had a rental unit, and you know, sometimes people go through bad times at Christmas time. And, you know, there were times that we bought the oil to put in the tank so that the people had heat. You know, but if we weren't obedient with our funds and good stewards over our funds, we wouldn't be able to bless them. Amen? So it's not just about us. It's not just about us and what we need. It's what other people need. We'll get more into the alms part, you know, next week. But I hope I'm driving the point home that in order for you to do all the things that God has called you to do, we have to be obedient and we have to trust Him. Amen? Any questions so far? Yeah.
Do
You have to have this so people can hear you.
One thing I learned is I just don't help people. I ask God first, only because I feel sorry for everybody if I see a need. And I remember this one time, I was at a different church before I was married, and he wanted some help. And he'd been in two or three other times, and I was just learning about God because I was an Episcopalian, so, you know, this God talking to me was scary for me at first because I never had it. And so I got used to God talking to me, and I got used to saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I do? So this kid came in, and he was waiting for the pastors, and the Lord said to me, ask him if he tithes, because this is like his fourth or fifth time coming for help for money. So I said, do you tithe? And he says, well, I give it when I can get it. He said, I don't always have it. And so the Lord said, you tell him he's never going to have it. So I did. And he says, what are you talking about? And I says, well, this is God. This isn't me. And I don't understand what your problem is. But all I know is this. God says, until you start giving him his tithe, you're never going to have any money. You're always going to be lack. And you're never going to be satisfied because you're never going to have it. And he got angry. So I learned from that moment on that, number one, tithing is important. But number two, you can hinder somebody sometimes by helping them because God wants to show them. And if you keep helping them, you're just making that teaching that God wants to give them longer. Yes.
You know, a lot of people blame the fact that they don't have any money on God. It's really not God's fault. It has everything to do with you and me. It's really up to us what we want from God. It's really up to us what we allow him to delve into in our lives. And as far as giving to every person, I don't do that. When I ask God if I'm supposed to seed, you know, I don't always give to every special guest that comes in. I ask the Lord first and I get direction from him, you know. And how much am I supposed to give God? If I'm supposed to give, how much am I supposed to give? He needs to give you direction because, you know, not every single charity on TV or everything else is good ground. You know, I want to plant in good ground that I know that my harvest is going to come up. Amen? And I have no qualms about giving at his tabernacle because I know the ground. Right? I helped prepare this ground in prayer. So I totally know the ground that this is and how fertile it is and how rich it is and how I know my harvest is going to come up. But I don't give to just everybody and anybody. I get direction from the Lord because when I'm planting something, I want to know that the harvest is going to come up out of that. Amen? And, you know, Alberta is right. You can't always give everything to people. Sometimes God does try to teach them the principles, and they have to learn it for themselves. Amen? Now, if every time I got in trouble with my finances, my mother sent me a check for $500, I would really love her more than I do now. But at the same time, I would learn nothing, right? I wouldn't learn to trust God because I'd just call my mom. Hey, can you send me another check? You know, but that's not helping me. It's not helping my faith grow in Christ. It's not helping me to rely upon him. And that is who all my trust is supposed to be in. Amen? Not in myself, not in my money, not in my employer, in my God. Amen? You guys got to keep me honest. I got 15 more minutes. And I always make sure you're out of here before the time is up because Pastor and I are in a competition with that thing. So tithing began before the law. It all began 400 years before the law was even established. The first 10% was given by Abram to Melchizedek. Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. Let's look at Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And then he gave him a tithe of all. So we see that the tithe continues to be the principle even through our patriarchs, Abraham, Jacob. They all brought their tithe. They all brought whatever was commanded of the time. Amen? Whether it was the fruit, whether it was the lambs, whether it was their livestock, whatever it is. Genesis 28, 20 through 22 says, "Then Jacob made a vow saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth.'" Give a tenth to you. So even in the Old Testament, we see that our patriarchs were doing the same thing. They were giving their 10%. Why? Because they wanted God's blessing to follow them. They wanted God's intervention in their finances. And they knew that if they were disobedient, they wouldn't have that. One of my kids, you know, it seems like they get the money in their pocket and there's a big hole in the pocket. And as they're walking, the money's just falling right out, right? I mean, I always tell them, if you don't do it God's way, you're not going to have anything. You know, you got to get it together. You got to do things His way. You know, and we think we know so much. We don't. We really don't. We just need to put our trust in Him. Amen? Stop, you know, we need to stop thinking we know everything because we don't. Melchizedek was the high priest that Abram gave the first tithe to, and he has no beginning and no end as a high priest. And he is a type of Christ. So he is a type and a shadow of Christ, right? Our high priest. And out of the Old Testament, that is what we see. And Jesus is our high priest from the order of Melchizedek. And what did he do? He received tithes. Hebrews 7, 1 through 10 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, for first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continuously. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them receives tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises." I'm not going to read the rest of that. It's a tongue twister. Anyways, he received the tithe from the people and from Abraham. And so that is where we get our principle from, the word of God. It's an example. He was an example to us to give our tithe. The tithe has not ceased in the New Testament. It has gone back to the issue of the heart. Amen? So your heart has everything to do with it. So we need to keep that in mind as when Pastor, you know, declares, or when Pastor Rhonda declares Deuteronomy 28, that is the word of God that is being spoken out of your mouth, sent, right? In Isaiah 55, it says that the word is sent and it will not come back void. That means it will accomplish whatever it's sent to. So when you're repeating that, you're not just chanting, you're not just repeating it, a repetitious prayer. You're actually speaking the word of God, and hopefully your heart is actually believing what you're speaking. Amen? Because your faith has to be linked up with that to receive the full blessing of the word. Amen? Any questions so far? All good? All right. Let's see if we can finish up this. For those who do not believe it, tithing is for the New Testament, they need to be giving well over 10%, or they're just using this as an excuse not to give at all. My former in-laws believed that tithing was not part of the New Testament, and that, you know, they were just givers. They would give. But you know what? They never were blessed in their finances because of that principle. And that's, they taught that principle to their children, who continuously struggle even today with the concept of tithing, because they don't think it's for the New Testament church. So it's really a tool of the enemy has used to deceive people into thinking that God just wants your money. He just wants your money. He wants to take it all from you and leave you poor. And that is so not the word of God. Amen? All right. So 750. I want to hear, does anybody have one example where you have been in need and God has actually blessed? You're doing everything right. You're tithing and giving, and God has given you a blessing. Yeah, come up. I'm doing this because I'm trying to build your faith. Amen?
To help pay my lot rent, I do mowing in the park, and the mowers that I was supposed to be using had both died. They were supposed to be provided for me, and they were not. So I was in a tight place, and I finally said, Lord, you promised to provide for all my needs. This is your need. You've got it. I don't mow until you get me a mower. I came home from church that day, and there was a brand new mower in a box sitting on my patio. I have no idea where it came from, and I'm still using it.
Amen. Now, what would have happened to Marge if God had spoken to someone to give a mower, but they didn't have any money to go buy a mower? Right? That's why it's up to us to be hearing and obeying, so that not only are we blessed, but then we can bless the other people that God, men, give into your bosom. Somebody, he didn't drop a mower out of heaven. Amen? I mean, somebody had to go buy it and then deliver it to her house. But now she can do the stuff that she's supposed to do. Amen? So it's really important that you open your spiritual ears and hear what he has to say. Pastor will tell you all the time, if Pastor Rhonda and I are at a special service and it has a need, it has to anything to do with kids, like our checkbooks are out. And, you know, why? Because my heart is towards kids. My heart is towards making sure I can help. And that's important, that our heart lines up with the word and then also lines up with our pocketbook. Amen? All right. Anybody else have a great financial testimony? Has anybody gone through financial peace here, university? And what was one benefit that you found from going through that? What was one benefit?
Saving.
Yes. That's right. These are principles. And, you know, it costs $75 to go through that class. But you have to look at it as an investment, right? You're investing the $75 to learn some principles, godly principles about how to handle your funds. And then you get to then have the funds to be able to do the things that God's called you to do with them. Amen? All right. So that's it for tonight. We're going to get into alms next week, and alms and some more on seeding and harvest and seed time and harvest. So go home tonight. If this is an area that you struggle in, I really want you to go home and just get in the Word, meditate, go through Malachi 3 and look and see what the Word says. And begin to build that trust relationship with the Father, that he can provide every single thing that you have need of, whether it's food on your table, money for your electric bill, or clothes on your back. God's able to do that. But are you allowing him the opportunity to do that for you?